Welcome to the Lions Den University Report. This program brings you a behind-the-scenes look at the spiritual life on today's university and college campuses. Now here's your host, Glenn Bailey.
And one of the organizations that's been under assault is InterVarsity Christian Fellowship out in California, which we had the blessing of being on the West Coast last month, and now we're on the East Coast. The InterVarsity Christian Fellowship was removed from the student organizations accredited at the Cal State University campuses. On 23 university campuses, they now have to meet off campus. They can't use the facilities without charge, and they can't have their organization in the organization fairs where students are contacted for opportunities for extracurricular activities, and where a lot of the contacts are initially made. So they're doing that and continuing to meet off campus. Haven't heard, and will report to our listeners what the update is, if that's being appealed or any action is being taken to straighten that situation out, because certainly an injustice. But we encourage our listeners to pray for the university in your area. There are many things going on the university campuses that are hostile to the Christian faith, hostile to the teachings of the Bible and to God. But there are Christians at each campus, and it's like the Bible says, we're the salt of the earth. You don't put the salt on your steak on one place, you spread it out. And so we find the believers are spread out on the campuses and in a lot of different departments and different organizations. But we're focusing on InterVarsity with a few interviews here at the University of West Florida in Pensacola, Florida. My guest for this program is Ashton Woods, who's a student here. And Ashton, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Mr. Bailey. I'm glad to be here.
And you don't have to call me Mr. Bailey, but I'm getting up there. And one thing I can say is the longer I've been a Christian, I don't regret it one day. And now it's getting up near 50 years since I was a teenager. So that's quite a while. Jesus just gets better every day.
That's encouraging to hear.
And we talked, you had your InterVarsity meeting tonight on relationships, and I'm so thankful that I found a godly woman when I got married. And after 43 years of marriage now, happy marriage with Christ as the head of our home, and four sons and six grandchildren, and just three daughter-in-laws, we're blessed. And without Christ, so much would have been different. And we don't know even if we'd be alive or be certainly not having the joy that we have of life and laying up our treasures in heaven. You're here at the University of West Florida, a really nice university campus, and fairly new student, though. You just when did you start here?
Well, this will actually be my first semester here. We're nearing the end of the first semester that I've been here.
So. Right, okay.
Yes, sir.
And you put in another semester at another school previously?
Yes, sir. Last fall, I was at Tuskegee University in Tuskegee, Alabama. So.
Uh-huh, okay. Yeah. And so God's been kind of guiding you here, and you're a Christian, and how active are you in InterVarsity?
I actually became active in the group before I started attending UWF. Last semester, a friend of mine who is an active member of the group, he invited me to come to one of the meetings, and he said that, you know, it was a great Christian community of young people and things like that. And so I came out to the meeting, was met with the love of Christ, the love of God immediately my first day there. And so throughout the summer, I was here with them. I went to a couple of conferences with them. So starting this semester, before I was even a student here, I was actually placed into a position of leadership, which was really great because it's a great group for accountability. So,
right. So what position do you have now?
I'm a leader. I'm a part of the leadership team here. So we plan events. We pray for the group. We fast for the group. We do things like that. Just trying to be a godly, not necessarily council, but a godly group of mature young Christians that the other members of the organization feel that they can come to for guidance and prayer and things like that.
Great. Okay. And you mentioned a word we don't hear too often in Christian circles, as often as we read it in the Bible, fasting.
Yes, sir.
So how do you guys practice fasting here with the InterVarsity group?
Well, actually, last week we had a 3-day fast that we did for a specific issue that came up in the group. We fasted for the majority of the day. It was from 6 a.m. to 3 every day for the 3 days. But we actually fast every week from 6 a.m. to 5 whenever we have our weekly meetings on Thursday. So we fast before we come to the meetings. Then we come together and we gather in prayer before the meetings start.
Is that right?
Yes, okay. Sir.
And what do you consider a fast? How do you fast?
Well, it's just the total elimination of food, except for water. We do drink water, but pretty much what we want to do is the time that we would spend eating and fellowshipping around those environments, we spend that with God and seeking His face and praying, just so that we can be in the right attitude and the right posture and position for when we go into the meetings on Thursday nights. So.
Amen. Okay. Well, when you do that kind of thing, it means you're serious.
Yes, sir. We want to really strive for holiness here on campus. So
great.
Yes, sir.
And you're right. That's pretty unique, becoming a leader right away when you started a new group. But you had that contact earlier on before you actually became a student here, and understand that you have had some opportunities to speak up about your faith in different settings. You're in a philosophy class, I understand.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, my philosophy class is very interesting. I've always enjoyed philosophies. I've even enjoyed studying other religions, not because I want to convert, but just to understand the thought process that we as humans have. God gave us brains to think and be critically minded. So it's a pleasure of mine to see the different things, the different conclusions and ideas that we come up with as humans. So I took the philosophy class, but obviously there's an element of hostility against Christianity because of the fact that most modern philosophers would suggest that there is no God, there is no creator, and that we shouldn't base our lives around that. And so at the beginning of the semester, I remember it was our third meeting of class, my professor pretty much made the statement that there is no God, which I was expecting, but I didn't initially speak up against it. What happened was there was another event on campus, and I was not planning on it, but in that event on campus, I kind of spoke up about God.
Right.
And looking around in the audience, I saw that there were several members of my philosophy class.
Okay.
And so after that, I kind of was like, well, I'm outed now. They all know that I'm a Christian, so I might as well take the stand that I know I should for the sake of Christ. So since then, my professor and I have had several very interesting conversations about, you know, secular philosophy versus, you know, biblical theology. And it's been really challenging for my faith because it's forced me to really study and know what it is that I believe. But I feel like it's a good place because I'm able to share that gospel with the people that are around me, even though it's met with the initial hostility. So.
Right. Okay. What are some of the questions that have come up that you've dealt with the professor?
Just the idea of blindly following after an unseen deity. We've deal with the issue of faith a lot, because my professor feels that we can't really experience faith in the way that we as Christians believe. He believes that if we can't see it, if we can't taste it, if we can't touch it, then it's basically a delusion.
Right, like electricity or wind.
Right, yes, sir. but I feel, and as most Christians feel, is that God is He makes Himself tangible for us.
Right.
He made Himself into human flesh. That's what Philippians talks about. Paul says that God made Himself, you know, into human flesh to walk among us, you know. And that was a tangible representation of who God was. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father.
Right.
And so Jesus is a historical figure that has been documented throughout, you know, secular and Christian text. And so we know that he was here. We know
right.
The claims that he made, and we know the proof that he gave, which is he died and he rose on the third day and he ascended to heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit to be with us.
Amen.
And when the Holy Spirit is with us, it's a tangible thing that we can feel. It's a tangible impartation of the Spirit of God in us. And I believe that the issue is with just the doubt that exists, because I feel like we as Christians know that there is a God. We know that there is a creator, and our spirit yearns for that creator. But most times what happens is we allow our hurt or we allow our alleged intellect, or we allow other things to block us from that. And so that's what blocks us from receiving that tangible gift that he gives us, which is the Holy Spirit, which is his word. And so, you know, because we're using the same words, but we're kind of using different definitions for the words, it's kind of difficult. But, you know, I'm hopeful that in those times when my professor's feeling low or when he feels like he needs a savior, he'll be able to remember the conversations we've had, and right. He'll be able to cry out to God and say, God, show me your tangibility. Let me reach out and touch you because you're here with me.
Right.
And so, you know, that's my hope. That's my prayer. But it's been an interesting journey for the whole semester. So
great. Yeah. Well, that's exciting. And you know, like you said, you got outed early, so you had to take a stand. But have other Christians come up to you in the class since you take that stand?
Yes. Surprisingly, there was another student that was really vocal at the beginning of the semester about her philosophical ideas. And, you know, I assumed that she would be a source of opposition in the class, but it actually turns out that she's a fellow believer. Mm. And she, like I, really enjoys intellectual endeavors. Right. And so she studies and she reads a lot of these texts, but she always brings it back, and she knows that the Bible is the ultimate source of authority for us as believers.
Right.
And so she indulges that intellectual itch. She scratches that intellectual itch. But we've also had separate conversations where we've built up each other's faith. And so that's been really encouraging because things aren't always as they appear. And so although it appeared that it would be a struggle to have a conversation with her, it turns out that she's actually a member of InterVarsity. So seeing her at the meetings and things like that, okay. We've been able to vote each other up that way.
Great, great. And when you attack things from a philosophical perspective, now that was my major in college at UC Berkeley back, and got my undergraduate degree in 1973. So, you know, in the dark ages. But anyway, when I came to the conclusion, I saw, and I take my philosophy classes, and what they build is the view of skepticism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they start out with questions like, how do I know that I'm not now dreaming?
Right.
You know, what's the difference between what I'm experiencing now and what I'm experiencing it in a dream? And, you know, and they begin to undermine, can you really know anything? And really, if you think about it, we have a finite mind, so we can never have all the information to make a total absolute statement. The only way we could know anything is if somebody who knows everything revealed it to us.
Right.
And so the source of truth, then, the only hope for a source of truth is in the Bible.
Right.
Because that is God who knows everything telling us about himself, and he's not going to update it when he finds something else out, because he already knows it all.
Exactly.
But the philosopher, he'll come to the conclusion man can't know everything, and if he's really honest, he knows very little about life,
right.
And it's humbling in every area, not just philosophically, but even in areas like science. We had a doctor on here who studied immunology saying how it humbles him to see every time they discover another level of complexity, there's another level beneath that. And
right.
So we're always learning and realizing that we don't know it all. We're not God. But that if there is a God, that he must be superior to us. And he has revealed himself in the Bible. And as you said, he became a man in Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And so it's great to hear, you know, defending the faith, and we would encourage you in doing that. We also encourage our listeners to see that film, God's Not Dead, almost a very similar illustration. That was fictional of a student who stood up, and the professor actually gave him the platform to share some of the things of his faith and defend the faith. And in the movie, he won the professor over, and even during that time. But you can do that when you write fiction. But we trust that, you know, your prayers and your influence in the long run might not only affect the professor but other students as well. Our guest for this program is Ashton Woods, a student here at the University of West Florida in Pensacola, Florida, with the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. And Ashton, thanks for joining us today for the broadcast.
Thank you so much, Glenn.
You have been listening to the Lion's Den University Reports. If you would like more information about the Christian life, or would like to contact the Lion's Den or one of the guests, please write us at the Lion's Den, Post Office Box 226, Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, 17844. Or email ltcldur@yahoo.com.